You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're listening, however you're listening. This is being brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com. Be sure to visit. Often, you'll see articles, interesting things going on. Maybe you'd like to sign up for the newsletter, the monthly newsletter. And there's all the archives there and the blog, etc., etc. Very interesting things going on there. And I'm ever learning, my goodness, the things I'm learning as of recently. I've been looking into another book that relates to this, written by the same author named Fritz Springmeier. And the book is called Be Wise as Serpents. And I believe we're going to have to go into at least some of Be Wise as Serpents to continue on this particular subject, because it got a lot heavier as Fritz researched the things like Enochian magic and things the Watchtower were teaching the Watchtower people that they need a mark. And what was spoken about was the mark of the devil and all kinds of different things. Now, I want to mention something to you in case, you know, I heard from nobody on this. I've often said that the hexagram that is on the Israeli flag, even though it's not a country, has six lines in it to create this mark of the beast. I call it the mark of the beast. And I also mentioned to you that in all the products of the world, there on the UPC code, 666 is encoded into the UPC code, every product. You've got two lines on the left, two lines in the middle, and two lines on the right. Now, I mentioned this, not a soul said a word. You take those same six lines, they're just now separated, but they still equal 666, and you make the hexagram from it. Do you understand? Six lines, six pyramids, and six, the six-sided figure in the middle. Also, IXXI. IX is 9, XI is 11. This is something you'll see, and this is from way back in the times of the Templars, and it still goes on today. IXXI. Think about it logically, 9-11. And I want you to think about something. It's six lines again. I, X is two more, that's three, and three is six. You understand? I, X, X, I. 9-11. This is a very interesting thing because the Jehovah Witnesses don't bother trying to Fritz was talking about how they don't bother trying to proselytize the Indians, not the ones from here, but the ones with the dots on their head. Because the dot represents the mark on the forehead. And it represents the third eye, the chakra, all these things that the New Age religions are trying to shove down your throat. This third eye thing is very important because it's actually marking that Lucifer, the all-seeing eye that you see on the pyramid, at the top of the pyramid, at on the dollar bill, that eye is being added onto you. If you take it. And when you do that, it's just like I was talking about with the Death Wish movie, when the big spirit, the king of the world, the monarch mind control programming, the spiritual king of the world was standing between two brown people. And they were facing him, and the spirit, the black spirit, was facing them. Okay? And when he stood between them, he became the third eye. You understand? In other words, they only had one eye on each of them. It's the one-eyed symbolism. So it's that type of a thing where this extra eye that you have or whatever, you become single-minded with the beast, with the devil. I'll have you know that I heard a little commercial about The Matrix. And the Negroid said to the fellow there with the high forehead in The Matrix, he said, "I am the architect of The Matrix." Do you know what that means? You know who the great architect is? That's Lucifer. So basically what he was saying to him is, "I am Lucifer and I have created The Matrix that's in this world." In other words, he's not a creator. An architect doesn't really create. He just sort of draws the picture of what will be done. One of the things the devil did was he taught this idea of Darwinism. From what I've understood and what I've heard, that he actually taught Darwin this very doctrine. And so he's an architect of these types of things, but he's not a creator like the Father is, and he's not a god. He's a fallen angel. He's a wannabe, just like his children are wannabes. They want to be us. They want to be winners, but they're losers, really, when it comes down to it. They want to be Israelites, but they can't be. And their father wants to be God, but he can't be. They can pretend, and he can pretend he's a God all over the world. I've told you that that's the way it is when I say that he's the God of those religions. They can say he's a God, but he's not a real God. He's an imitator. Remember, he said that he would be like the Most High. He didn't say he would be the Most High because he knows he couldn't be. But he said he would be like. Being like someone is not being someone. And this is just something to think about. So this devil, the architect, or the great architect, or the grand architect, the great architect of the universe, this is what the fellow, the Negroid, said in the movie. Now, I never heard it before, but I have now. So that's Lucifer. The great architect of the universe is not the Father. In Freemasonic eyes, that is. You see what I'm saying? The Father is the creator of the universe. An architect is not really a creator. And Albert Pike put out works claiming that Lucifer is not a creator. Because he's not. So these are just a few things to think about. But this devil's mark that the people are getting, and the Jehovah Witnesses are being controlled by mind control. There's no doubt about it. I have to, you know, I don't know, you know, it's not like I like to read things all the time, but this is important information that we need to know. Look at all we've learned in this series. I don't know, you know, how many of you are hanging in with me. But I'll tell you something right now. We've learned a lot of things here. And wait till you hear what's going to be coming after this book. So let's delve in. And I think we should, you know, just sort of check it out. So we're on page 192 of 244. So we're moving right along. Rutherford, I found out from this thing, was a lawyer. Now, Rutherford is the second leader. He's the leader that took over for Russell. And this guy was an adulterer. He was power hungry. And he was really doing some serious bad stuff. So let's continue here. Rutherford's anti-Russell and anti-Masonic campaign. Rutherford carried out a step-by-step campaign to discredit Russell. He discredited Russell's character-building emphasis in the 5-1-1926 Watchtower. He replaced it with door-to-door proselytizing. He discredited Russell's character in the January 1st, 1927 Watchtower, page 7, and 1 month later repudiated the belief that Charles Taze Russell was the faithful and wise serpent, servant. I think that was supposed to be that way, right? Yeah, wise serpent. Keep in mind that these people are Antichrist. Keep in mind that Jehovah, who they worship, is the devil. That's not the Father Yahweh's name. That's one of the great things we've learned here. You know, years ago, I was trying to talk to one of these fellows, and I printed out a whole bunch of stuff for him. And because I had seen the name Jehovah in the scriptures before, he said, well, then tell me what the name of the Father is. And I said, oh, it's Jehovah. He said, well, you know what I mean? So, but if he asked me that question today, I know the difference now, and so do you. Praise be to the Father. Because Jehovah is not the Father's name in any form or fashion. It's an hybrid name created using the Father's name and the word Adonai, Lord, Baal. You can't mix Baal with the Father in the same way you can't mix Judaism with Christianity. But they do it anyway. You see? So, you see, they like to play with, first he discredits Russell's character, and then a month later repudiated the belief that Charles Taze Russell was the wise servant. Rutherford said that this servant was the anointed class. Watchtower, February 1927, pages 51 through 57. I read these things in case you want to check them out. Even minute mistakes of Russell's were highlighted, such as a major mistake about Solomon's Temple, Vindication, Volume 3, page 186 and 187. Pro-Russell Bible students split away and formed a number of Bible student groups which continue to this day. The break was not a cordial parting. One description says Rutherford's tactics provoked violent criticism, quote-unquote, by international Bible students. Most of these groups continue to use the Knights Templar logo, you know, which is the cross and the crown. For instance, People's Paper still uses both the logos and the watchtower on its cover. Some Bible students continue to believe in the pyramid as a second Bible, too. A second Bible. Like the Jews have the second truth. Remember that from that movie I told you about? And I did a show on it called The Second Truth. Very interesting, isn't it? The other Jew told the rabbi Jew, he said, what, do you want me to lie to this fellow? And he said, no, tell him the second truth. The truth is we tell it. The Jews don't tell the first truth. They tell, you know, like, the first fruits or the second fruits? Well, the second fruits aren't worthy, right? And so the second truth wouldn't be worthy either, like the first truth would, if you know what I mean. Pro-Russell, so they split away because of what was happening. Paul Johnson, a Chicago Bible student, PSI, continued using the Wing Sun disc on reprints of Russell's books. renamed Epiphany Studies in the Scripture, 1938, and his book Elijah and Elisha, Elijah and Elisha. Rutherford abolished the offices of elder and deacon. In this one stroke, he removed all the elders and deacons who had been democratically elected by the congregations over the past 50 years. Beards, at times grown in emulation of Pastor Russell, were forbidden at the Watchtower Society's offices and print shops. Now in the scriptures, it talks about that we're supposed to have a beard. In the midst of this anti-Russell campaign, folks, I don't have one. I keep trying to have one, and I just don't like it. It's just, I don't know, it's aggravating. But I will, because I wish to obey in everything that I can. In the midst of this anti-Russell campaign came Rutherford's denunciation of pyramid beliefs as demonic. Isn't it funny that these people, just like the Jews do, this guy is doing that Ouija board thing and all kinds of weirdo beliefs, right? Remember? I want to remind you that Rutherford here, he said he was getting all these books and the information from angels, which were aliens. Remember that? But on the other hand, he's saying that Russell's pyramid beliefs are demonic. So, I mean, this guy's a demon calling other people demons. It's just interesting. In the late 20s, the Masons also came under attack as demonic, which they are. Very demonic. In the Golden Age, 9330, it's a magazine, The Golden Age, was an article how Masonry originated. It concludes, it plainly links Freemasonry with demonism. Again, Rutherford, repeats himself in the 8-5, that's August 5th, 1931, Golden Age. In spite of dabbling with the occult, Rutherford's attitude during the late 20s and early 30s is one of intolerance towards Freemasonry. Rutherford was also negative towards Zionism. Era of Watchtower sympathy toward Freemasonry, 1935 to 1947. You see, it's just like everything else. Freemasonry was against the Catholic Church, right? And now there's a synthesis of the two. There's many people in the clergy that are in the Freemasons, right? Well, here it was again, the two opposing forces, and now in 1935 through 47, now there's sympathy towards Freemasonry. By the second half of the 1930s, Rutherford had succeeded in eliminating the reverence for Russell by Jehovah Witnesses. He now had total control of their allegiances and obedience. He had directed their minds against new enemies. The Catholic Church came first, but he also railed against any government of the world. And then along with that came the Protestants. While Rutherford set up his dictatorship, other dictatorships were popping up around the world. In 1922, Mussolini, I think it says Il Duce, came to power. In 1926, Portugal established a dictatorship. In 1933, after being democratically elected, Hitler, the Führer, was made chancellor. And finally, in 1939, after a bloody civil war, the fascist dictator Franco took control of Spain. Huey Long, in Louisiana, created a fascist dictatorship, and had he not been assassinated, many believe he would have been elected president and taken the U.S. on the road that Germany went on. I didn't know about that. I'd rather have gone on the road that Germany went on. Listen again. Huey Long in Louisiana created a fascist dictatorship, and had he not been assassinated, now I've never even heard of him. Many believe he would have been elected president and taken the U.S. on the road Germany went on. During the years between World War I and World War II, the Freemasons also had been active. In the U.S., they tried to organize at Cedar Rapids, Iowa. 37 jurisdictions led by grand masters organized into a conference. This would develop into a conference of grand secretaries. But by 1930, this association would decline to only nine jurisdictions. In Europe, the Freemasons went about supporting political moves they believed in. Continental European Freemasonry has been different than British and American Freemasonry in that they have taken an active role in politics. They participated in France in the revolutions of 17... Listen carefully, please. The Freemasons. They participated in France in the revolutions of 1789, 1830, 1848, and 1871, and elsewhere in Europe in the revolutions in 1848 and 1917. So now we're learning something that's even more interesting, because I've heard about the 1789 revolution, like you have, and I heard of the 1848 revolution, and I believe I heard of the 1871, but I didn't hear of the 1830. So every so many years here, we have a revolution in France, like, you see? And Freemasons are involved. In 1923, the Grand Lodge of France resolved, page 97 of the resolution, the League of Nations. This is 1923. The Grand Lodge of France resolved the League of Nations, which we desire, will have all the more real moral force and influence as it will be able to depend on the support of Masonic associations throughout the entire world. Actually, Masonic unity throughout the world was not that unanimous. The Covenant of the Grand Orient in 1923, page 23, declared, "It is the duty of universal Freemasonry to give its absolute support to the League of Nations." Little did they know that soon to come, the fascist dictators would hate the League of Nations. And these ten gave their power to the beast and were like-minded. Yeah. So in other words, what you're finding out here is that the Watchtower is pro-New World Order for the Jews, is controlled by the Jews in the background by the B'nai B'rith Lodge of New York, which is exclusive to Jewry. It means the Brothers of the Covenant, and that doesn't mean the covenant with that Yahweh that we have with the Father. It's a covenant of the devil's organizations. So interesting, isn't it? And that they would support the League of Nations. Now, this is something that nobody wanted to have as far as the Tsar in 1815 said, no way. So in 1917, the Tsar and his family were killed, and by about 1922, that's when they wrote all this all up, and they included, I had found out, something I had never heard from anywhere before, that the League of Nations was instituted in the Versailles Treaty. And it was all Jews. And of course, Freemasons, it is the duty, listen again, this is the Convent of the Grand Orient in 1923, page 23. They declared, it is the duty of universal Freemasonry. This is the Jews telling Freemasonry that it is the duty of universal Freemasonry to give its absolute support to the League of Nations. Very interesting. The Convent of the Grand Lodge of France, 1922, page 235, in 236, spelled out what supporting the League of Nations meant. The principal tasks of the League of Nations consists in organizing the extension of a general pacifist education. Left-wing parties were supported by the Continental Freemasons during the 1920s and 1930s. One of the goals was one world government. That's democracy, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we found out. That the democracy for the Jews is the one world government. The Continental Masons helped some of the pacifist groups but probably did not aid the IBSA. For although Bible students, Jehovah's Witnesses preached pacifism very loudly, condemned the League of Nations. Very interesting. See the Hegelian dialectic. Eventually they join it, you see. Still, the Grand Orient Masonry may have seen an ally in the Bible students in their common goal to abolish nationalism. The fascists didn't oppose one world government, except that they wanted to be the ones in power, not the leftists. One Mason speaker at the 1922 Convent of the Grand Orient stated, I would listen if I were you, Masonry should be felt everywhere, but nowhere should its face be unveiled. However, Masonry was to be unveiled because the fascists had no intention of allowing other secret organizations to exist. Beginning with Mussolini, the fascist government set out to crush Freemasonry. And you know that Hitler, that was the first thing he did, was he started throwing them into camps. And he destroyed their lodges in Germany because he knew they were destroyers. He knew they were being controlled by the Jews, and he knew that they were there in all the revolutions. So believe me, he knew that Freemasonry was part of what brought Germany down, and he knew who controlled it. There were also many Jewish links to the Freemasons. This author knows of at least nine books, nine, that concern themselves with Judaism and Freemasonry. It should be noted, though, that many groups can be associated with and have influenced Masonry, including Gnosticism, Christianity, occultism, and its daughter, Theosophy, Islam, Satanism, and Deism. However, to someone like a diehard Nazi Party member, that Jews would be associated with this secret organization would make it suspect. Did Rutherford try to stay neutral in this battle between the Freemasons and the fascists? He had plenty to lose if he antagonized the fascists. Rutherford did not attempt to stay neutral, nor did he try to mitigate the potential suffering looming ahead for the Jehovah's Witnesses. In 1935, before the Jehovah's Witnesses had been severely persecuted by the fascists, Rutherford came out with two articles condemning the persecution of the Freemasons. Bear in mind, these articles were being handed out by Jehovah's Witnesses in their own countries and in their own language editions throughout such countries as Germany, Italy, France, and Spain. The 10-9-35 Golden Age, this is obviously October 9th, 1935, Page 21, the magazine tells about the anti-Masonry campaign in Italy. Why does the Church of Rome dislike the Freemasons? The Roman Catholic Church objects to Freemasonry because Masonic societies do not come under their priestly control and because Masons deny the papal claims. Rutherford blames the persecution by Mussolini on the Catholic Church because, according to Rutherford, Mussolini and Hitler are the epitome of Catholic sainthood and are in alliance with the Vatican. The November 20th, 1935 Golden Age repeats the same storyline with some more information thrown in. Now in 1935, the Freemasons are no longer portrayed as demonic. But for the next 11 years, they will be a benevolent society that was destroyed because they opposed the Catholic Church. You see what's happening here, right? You're listening? However, other groups oppressed with equal ruthlessness are not mentioned by Rutherford. Did the chilly period between the Society and the Masons during the late 20s and late 30s stop the two groups from associating? So far, the author doesn't know. However, a U.S. government study of Oregon religious bodies in 1940 gives the address for the Portland, Oregon Jehovah's Witnesses as the Masonic Temple, which is located, listen to this address, which is located at 1119 Southwest Park Ave. This must have been an interesting meeting place for the spirit scientist, for the Spirit Science Evangelistic Church, an occultic group also met there. The Spirit Science Evangelistic Church. Are you listening? Remember I told you that Rosicrucianism is soul science? That's the same as spirit science, you understand? There's a lot of weird churches popping up, ladies and gentlemen. There's a new church every day or something created in this part of the country that I'm in. And they have weird names, weird logos, and I know right where they're coming from. It's just very simple to see. This is the type of churches that you're seeing. The Spirit Science Evangelistic Church. An occultic group also met there, besides numerous Masonic groups during the whole week. The mentally ill are eliminated by the Nazis without a word by the society. All the members of the old order, Amish, in Germany are eliminated, but the society has never recognized or mentioned their martyrdom. Tens of thousands. Now, I've never heard of any such a thing. The Amish being killed by Hitler. I really don't think that that would be true, but I don't know everything, folks. Tens of thousands of gypsies. Now, we know that gypsies are Jews. The gypsies are an unethical people. And they have the same kind of music as Jews. They use their women as weapons like Jews. And they're dishonest people. There's a lot of scamming going on with gypsies. In Scotland, they're called tinkers. They cause a lot of problems for the indigenous people of any land. Believe me, to get rid of gypsies is a wise thing. So, tens of thousands of gypsies throughout Europe are eliminated, not a word by the society. The list could go on and on of peoples eliminated by the Nazis and fascists without a squeak by the society. But the society does care to publicize the plight of the Freemasons. It seems they only care when it furthers their kingdom interests. The Catholics had learned to coexist with the Protestants. So fascist arrests of Protestant clergy could not be portrayed as collusion between the Vatican and the fascists. However, the Masons were still the enemies of the Vatican. Apparently, Rutherford reasoning that the enemy of his enemy is a friend. There it is again. Now, that's something that you see in the world all the time. Don't you? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. But that's not really true. And I wouldn't say that you should live by something like that. The Vatican at this time was afraid of the Nazis and fascists, but preferred not to confront them. In contrast, Rutherford was at the peak of his campaign to promote disloyalty to all governments. He had even encouraged Jehovah's Witnesses to break the prohibition on alcohol by smuggling in alcohol. When the National Socialist Worker Party, which they say means Nazis, which I don't agree with. When the Germans National Socialist Workers Party came into power, the Watchtower Society started going underground. What does that tell you? The Freemasons went underground, right? And they also were persecuted heavily by the NSWP. Not the Nazis, the NSWP. So these people went underground, he just said right here. When the National Socialist Workers' Party came to power, the Watchtower Society started going underground. I heard somebody lie and say that Hitler wanted all of Russia to be Jehovah's Witnesses. This is a bunch of crapola. Because he built churches. The soldiers built up the churches on their way through. Let's interject two thoughts before the story continues. Fritz says, Although the Jehovah Witnesses news coverage of Nazi persecutions was biased and unbalanced, in later years in human interest stories about World War II, they would acknowledge the sufferings of others which they would not admit to before. For instance, in a footnote, they admit Spann, Catholic priests, gave up their lives in neutrality or because they protested Franco's brutality. They report the Nazi persecution of the Austrian gypsies. They report Hitler liked magic. These things were not to their advantage to report during the 40s. Visions of Glory sums up Jehovah Witnesses' hate for the Catholics. 1944, our hatred for the church was an invigorating elixir. It drove us to heights of inspired lunacy. Pages 186 and 187 from the Watchtower. Watchtower, June 1st and 15th, 1929, taught that Romans 13:1 did not apply to secular governments. Secular governments were demonic. After 1935, witnesses quit standing for national anthems and saluting flags. Did you hear that? So we have the Groids doing that today, right? But listen, this is after 1935, it says. After 1935, Jehovah Witnesses quit standing for national anthems and saluting flags. Very interesting, isn't it? That was in Germany, okay? It said national anthems and saluting flags. There's some improper writings in this, the way this is written, and it's never been checked out, and edited properly. In Germany, it is understandable that some Nazis would see a conspiracy between the Jehovah Witnesses, Jews, and Freemasons. In April 21st, 1937, Golden Age mocks the Catholic Church for calling the worldwide prayer for worldwide prayer by Catholics against Freemasonry. The article is entitled Determined and Worldwide Opposition to Masonic Sects. The Consolation of May 28, 1941, pages 12 and 13, is about the persecution of the Freemasons and Jehovah Witnesses. The paragraphs hop back and forth from reporting Masonic to reporting JW sufferings. Quoting the article, I'd listen if I were you, Neshab, Jehovah's purpose. Let me translate that. Baal's purpose. Jehovah's purpose is to permit wickedness to go to its full and be cut off by his executioner when it's at its height. Psalm 92:7, verse 7, Judges 3, verse 29, with explanation in Watchtower magazine, October 15, 1940 issue. Religion, chief among which is Hitler's Catholic religion, is doomed. Does anyone conceivably think we need more of Hitler's religion? Our blood brothers at Valley Forge had not a papist among them. George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, 60 among Washington's generals, John Hancock, and a great many of his co-signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons. So were the Marquis de Lafayette, Diderot d'Alembert, Condorcet, the famous Swiss philosopher Helvidius, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and Voltaire, who vitalized the French Revolution, which struck so heavily at Catholicism. This shows us that Rutherford really did know that the Masons had gotten politically involved in the past. The article goes on to talk about the persecution of Masons in Germany, Austria, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Holland, Belgium, Norway, France, and Vichy France. For instance, quote, the persecution was carried over into Austria when the country was captured by the Nazis. I'm just going to call that the Germans. The Nazis are the Ashkenazi Jews. The masters of the various Vienna lodges were immediately confined in the most notorious concentration camps. Jehovah Witnesses would join the Freemasons in those camps. See, Hitler knew what was going on. Hitler knew. We're just learning about some of this stuff now, you and I. But Hitler already knew that the Jehovah Witnesses were what they were. The Jehovah Witnesses went to a wide assortment of camps and prisons during World War II. They interacted with the other prisoners and had after-work discussions with others. It can be speculated some of this interaction was with Freemasons. Perhaps even friendships were made. During World War II, the Allies were led by Masons. The following is a list of some of the Masons leading the Allies. Leading the British, King George VI, who was installed as the Grand Master Mason of Scotland. Winston Churchill, Master Mason of Studholm, Lodge number 1591. Leading the Americans on the other side of the Atlantic, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, Master Mason, Holland Lodge number 8, New York City. President Harry Truman, past Grand Master of Missouri, Masons. Led the Americans to victory. The Americans were aided by a host of Mason generals, General George C. Marshall, General Joseph W. Stilwell of Burma, member of the West Point Lodge, number 877 in New York, General Douglas MacArthur, Colonel Charles Lindbergh, famous for his transatlantic flight, Colonel James Doolittle, Hollenbeck Lodge, number 319, California, since 1918, famous for his B-25 attack on Tokyo, General Henry H. Happ Arnold, that's a Jew name, member in Union Lodge, number 7 in Kansas, since 1927, General Mark Wayne Clark, that's a Jew name. Well, you remember Clark, Wesley Clark? He's a Jew. Master Mason in the Mystic Thai Lodge, 398, Indiana, since 1929. Admiral Ernest J. King, that's known as a Jew name. I know that's why Martin Luther Lucifer King used that name, because it's a Jew name. Chief of Naval Operations and member of George C. Whiting Lodge, number 22 of District of Columbia. Admiral Mark A. Mitscher, member of Biscayne Lodge, number 124, Florida, since 1919. General Claire Chennault, helping the Chinese, member League City Lodge, number 1053 of Texas. And then Attorney General Earl Warren, who was a Jew, who instigated relocation camps for all the Japanese Americans, past Master Mason in California, and others. What do you think of that, ladies and gentlemen? You see, we're entwined in deviltry in this world. It's betwixt everything. They've made sure that the military and the police, which they're militarizing, they're making the police like a military of its own. They're all locked up in Freemasonry. See, they see the beautiful control that Freemasonry has, that the Jew has ultimately through Freemasonry as a tool in the Juke, Cuckland. They've got those people locked up. In a devil lock. You've heard of the term devil lock, haven't you? I've used it before. That's exactly what's going on. And they'd love to devil lock the whole world by Freemasonry. It's another of the tools of Mystery Babylon for the Jew. Who is Mystery Babylon? You know, just like the Catholics are Mystery Babylon, and they've got that all devil locked up now too. Right? You can see that they got Jewish popes and everything else, right? Devil lock is going on worldwide. And It's time. You see, we have been praying to the Lord, and we need to stop praying to the Lord. We need to pray to Yahweh, the Father in heaven, and have a personal relationship with Him. We need to unlock the devil lock in the mighty name of Yahweh. So I suppose we could take a break right here, and maybe we could even listen to a song. Perhaps I'll just throw this one on, and this will suffice.
The edge of day, engaged in play, I walk the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wonder what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of thought, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow, until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com. Well, this is very interesting, and it's very sickening to know that our military is lopped up. You see, it's like the Freemasons. They told the Freemasons in this, what we just read, that they must support the League of Nations. And I'm sure they've told the police and the university professors and everybody, the military that's going over there to spread democracy, you see, which is the one world government. You can see that they're all lopped up in Freemasonry. From what I understand, Mr. T-Rump is also a Freemason. I don't know what lodge he belongs to, but we're in some serious trouble in this world. I don't worry about it. I pray against it. I see evidence that the prayer is being answered, that it is backfiring in their faces. And I encourage you to pray imprecatory prayers as well. I've talked to Christians before in the past 10 years, and I told them that praying imprecatory prayers is important. They don't believe that. Your Judeo-Christian, Jewish version of Christianity doesn't believe in spiritual warfare. It's not funny. It's just that it's just crazy. It's just nutso. They don't know, you know, Jethro Tull, Ian Anderson, in one of the songs that he had put out, he said, there's revolution, but they don't know what they're fighting. They don't know. These people don't know what they're fighting for and who they're fighting for and what they're fighting for. They don't realize they're fighting for their own slavery. Bringing democracy to every country in the world and bringing a central bank mechanism to every country in the world and destroying Christianity and kicking the father out of your nation is not going to do anything good for you. Believe me. And you can see the evidence of that. Destruction is everywhere. you know, I don't think that I could tell you when the, I would never make a prophecy and say, well, the world is going to end at this point. I really don't know when the world is going to end, but it is true that we are ever closer and ever closer every day. It is, the world is in chaos. The world is moving towards androgyny, which is permeating every aspect. Like they want to have transvestites in the military. The corporations of the world are promoting androgyny. The Jews are promoting queers and transgenders and LGBTQ and all these other things, right? Well, what this is it is a revolution by the Jews and the devil, their father, and it's a revolution to absolutely pervert everybody and corrupt everybody on the planet, to move them to the point of being without morals whatsoever and to be androgynous. You know that I have told you in the past that the Father made it very clear who was who and who was Jew. He made it very clear when he put the races where he put them, and he separated them for very good reasons. We understood the difference between man and woman. But the peoples are the waters in the scriptures. The sea of peoples, or the waters. The devil, the beast, rose his head up out of the sea. That's the sea of the nation of people, or the nations of people. Z. And basically, it's turning into this cloudy mess. Do you know what I mean? In other words, everything was clear before. It was clear who was who and who was Jew. It was clear who was male and who was female. It was clear who was, you know, the waters, the people. We were clear on who was all these things. What this is doing, you've heard that the devil wants to have a mud race. Mud is not clear. If you throw mud into the water or you stir up the mud in the water being the peoples even, it's no longer clear. So that's how it becomes a mud race. And the devil cannot have one white male or female left on this earth and feel safe. Neither can his children. We are the ultimate threat to the devil and his kingdom, for we're a race that was born by Yahweh, that was created to come here and take control of this planet. So there's been a war going on all through this time. And the Jew has every advantage because it cheats. So on one side, you have the Adamic race. And then on the other side, you have all the other races, except maybe Japan. And you have all the other activists, the leftists, which are people of our own race even. You have a whole bunch of people of our race on that other side, Satanists, paganists, pagans, you know, Negroids, all the two-legged beasts of the field that are a weapon used against us. Freemasonic organizations as a weapon used against us, our own people in the military and the police used as a weapon against us, and it's a tug of war, and there's only a very few people on our side of the tug. The whole world is tugging against us. It's a total advantage of the Jews, because the world even, they don't realize that the Jews are using them, and they are falling for all this kind of stuff, this freebies from the government. Well, the government comes, the Jews give the freebies to the have-nots. steal from the haves, which are us, on that small side tugging, and then everybody else has been coddled by these Jews. Even our own people, some of them are coddled. Some of them are bought and sold. As a matter of fact, a good amount. It's probably up to 2/3 of our people that are used as a weapon against us. And you have the race mixers and the hybrids and the Muslims and everything all on that side of the tug of war. But we have Yahweh on our side, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. But that's the way it is. See, that's what it means that the woman has been surrounded by the flood. See, if people are waters, there's a flood of people that have surrounded us now. We're surrounded. I used to think years ago when I was a Judeo-Christian that it meant that the little land over there that these Jews have stolen and occupying and are occupying, it's not their, not a country at all. I thought it meant that she was the woman and that all the nations of the world were going to surround her and destroy her. See, I was wrong. But now that I know who Israel really is, this makes a whole lot more sense to me. I think it does to you too, if you think about what I'm telling you. We are surrounded right now. Right? And it says the earth will swallow the flood. See, this is because the devil is angry, and this flood came out of his mouth, and I explained to you, this is from Revelation 12:15, and that this has to do with the devil's mouthpiece are the Jews, the body of Shaitan. Remember all that, the scribes and the heralds. Remember I did all the teaching on all of that? Well, as we are the body of Christ and the mouthpiece of the Father on this planet, in our nations, the Jews are the mouthpiece of the devil. And of course, they've added all these other people. It seems there are so many voices in the world now, and they'll give creed to some young child and AOC who was a bartender, and they'll treat them like they were climate experts. And the media will say, oh, yes, we've got to change the whole world because of what this little girl says that they put up there from Antifa. And from AOC, the Jewess. Now, she was just a bartender, and now she's a climate expert. I mean, just happened immediately. And the training of all of this is, you know, whomever they say are the experts are the experts. You see? And you shouldn't listen to anybody but experts, they want to make clear to you. Something to think about, isn't it? All right, let's get back to what we were reading. We're on page 200, so we only have 44 more pages, and I think some of those are going to be, you know, the typical ending of a book. So we should be able to get through this within, you know, I don't know, a few weeks or something. The most prominent military men for the Allies, five-star General Eisenhower, was not a Mason, but this is a very little publicized fact. Listen to this. He was the son of Jehovah's Witnesses. His father was an elder in Russell's day, and his mother, Mrs. Eisenhower, was baptized in 1897, into the Bible students. And remember also that he is the terrible Swedish Jew. And so his mother also, I bet you they don't say anything about it here, but his mother had black blood through her. She was either a half-breed or a quadroon or whatever it is. So he is the first Falasha Jew president that we know of. But I didn't know he was the son of Jehovah's Witnesses. So again, his father was an elder in Russell's day, and his mother, Mrs. Eisenhower, was baptized in 1897 into the Bible Students. The Bible Students used the Eisenhower home for their meetings for 20 years. During the war, Dwight D. Eisenhower's mother continued to be a Jehovah Witness. In fact, at the age of 82, she still considered herself a Jehovah's Witness. The Allied nations owe a lot to these Masons and this son of Jehovah Witnesses. It is interesting that the Axis leaders, who were the worst persecutors in history of the Freemasons and Jehovah Witnesses, would be defeated by such a group of Allied leaders. Yeah, very interesting. Rutherford did not survive the war. His successor continued sympathetic articles on the Masons. The Golden Age on June 20th, 1945, page 12 and 13, relates the massacres of Spanish Masons by Franco's fascists. The Watchtower states they hadn't done high crimes against the state. Their offense was simply and solely that they were members of the Masonic fraternity. Another victimization like the Jews, right? No other charge was brought against them. Freemasons, known the world over for its work of charity, yes, and its principles of fraternity. Ba, 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 ba. You see, that's the whole idea there. The reason why the Freemasons or the, you know, they have the star and the crescent, which is Baal, right? I told you all about this, right? The Shriners, they have a burn institute or burn hospitals. You understand what I mean? They do good works. This is dualism. This is the Kabbalah. In other words, you must equal your, it's called equilibrium by the Albert Pike and the Freemasonry. That's what that floor is. The checkerboard or the chessboard, how it's black and white. You must do good deeds to equal your evil deeds. And so the Freemasons, just like all these Jews you hear of, they say that they're great philanthropists, but at the same time, they're the most evil people on the planet, right? Well, that's what this saying here. Freemasons, known the world over for its works of charity and its principles of fraternity, brotherhood, you see. On March 13th, 1946, the Watchtower on page 5 tells the story of how among the first victims of Mussolini were Freemasons. Why this group catches the sympathetic eye of the society and the others don't, the author can't quite explain. Certainly the rank and file Jehovah Witnesses do not have memberships in Masonic lodges. However, it can't be definitively stated, for sure about the upper echelon. If the Masons and the Watchtower Society were not so secretive, it would end speculation one way or the other. The upper echelon of the Watchtower Society has historically gotten away with things that would shock the rank and file. It has been documented by various ex-witnesses about the upper echelon's use of yachts, listen carefully, brothels, expensive cars, mansions, and other items. But the rank and file of Jehovah Witnesses live in an ununiformed Orwellian world where they are no better informed about their leaders than the people were in communist East Europe. The Masons attempt to infiltrate and recruit upper echelon leaders of religious organizations. The leadership of the Watchtower Society have shown some hints of interest in the occult, such as their use of Johannes Grieber, a spirit medium. Johannes Grieber is quoted 7 times in the Watchtower Society's Bible Encyclopedia, known as the Aid to Bible Understanding, as a Bible scholar. Yet the evidence is clear that the leadership knew his open claims and his information came to him through spirit mediums. Well, why should that bother the Jehovah Witnesses? They were getting all their information from alien angels, or they said they were angels from heaven, but we know different, don't we? it's just sickening. The Masons have a great reputation, The Masons have the reputation of having a great obligation to conceal Masonic work. Because of this secrecy, there may always linger in the back of some people's minds the question as to whether the ancient men leading the Watchtower today may have taken out memberships in a lodge somewhere. In the case of Rutherford, the evidence, certainly appears that Rutherford was too intolerant to have been a Freemason. This investigation, now I told you, let me just say that there is proof, and we will see that when we go into the Be Wise as Serpents part about the Watchtower. It was found out that Russell was a Mason, but as he's saying here, he didn't know if Rutherford was. So this investigation hasn't checked on his life as an attorney in Missouri before he joined Russell's movement. That's speaking of Rutherford. That remains an unknown. Conclusions, if drawn, must be made on what is not known and not speculation. Giving these men the benefit of doubt is considerate until some unexpected information might become available. Well, folks, what do you think? We're on chapter 13 right now, A Christian Analysis. And we're getting somewhere, so be thankful for that. So, this chapter will deal with two issues. First, what should the Christian response be to Freemasonry? And second, what should the Christian response be towards this book's information? Christian response to Freemasonry. There is a feeling by some, even some who proclaim to be Christians, that Freemasonry should not be condemned by Christians because of its benevolent activities. You know, I just have to, you know what I would tell you, right? Many so-called Christians participate in Freemasonry. You can't do that. You can't go to the devil's church and the father's congregation. It just doesn't work. Light does not have any association with darkness. And also, light has no association in the sense of Lucifer is a distorted light. He's not a pure light. It's an impure light. They must answer, these Christians, must answer for themselves to the Father. Meanwhile, rather than just wait to see how the Father settles the issue at the judgment, Scripture can be used to indicate how he thinks. He's calling him the good Lord and all these things. I just go over that. Just what is Christian faith? What is the Christian faith, he says? It's to love Yahweh our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is similar. It's for me to love my neighbor as myself. Naturally, the Christian faith believes that man is incapable of reaching the God he loves on his own. This is what separates Christianity from other religions. Christianity holds that sin is so terrible that God must remove the consequences of sin for man in order for man to get to know him. Christianity believes that Yahweh himself saved mankind. Accepting God's love means accepting his means of redemption. To God be glory for every person who finds him. For it is not we who find him, but he who draws us to him and gives us the capability to know our Creator. What an awesome privilege. If the Christian is sincere in all this, then he will give his whole soul and strength towards loving Yahweh, the Father. Loving one's Father, or God and Father, he says, naturally implies obedience and personal knowledge of him. Do we devote more time and energy towards knowledge about God, theology, than we spend trying to figure out our girlfriend or English literature or an economic problem? This is a question for all Christians. The Christian who loves his God with all of his heart with all of his soul and all of his mind, with all of his strength, will seek God to the point that he has some definite answers, convictions, and understanding of what is expected of him. Freemasonry, in contrast to this, has believed in a universal brotherhood of all religious thought. You see, you and I know that the Father is not universalist, right? You know that he is very exclusive, and he discriminates. Oh, yes, he does. Freemasonry's brotherhood means all races, all religions, all everything. I mean, even the devil, you could be a brother of his. He's one of your brothers. And all religious thought, because I told you, as Fritz had told you earlier in this, that the purpose of both the Watchtower and the Masons is to bring forth this one world religion, universal religion, and this universal fraternity. You see? The universal brotherhood. So it continues here. The Masons have pointed to their rapport with Christianity as proof that Masonry has promoted and has not inhibited Christianity. That's a lie. One Masonic reference states, "It is no part of the function or purpose of the Masonic organization to provide spiritual ministrations in the way of public worship and thus usurp the place of the Christian church. Anyone attending a Masonic funeral has seen how a Mason who has never professed any Christian in his life, any Christianity in his life, can be said to be in glory. Robert A. Kessinger of the Boise, Idaho Commandery, number 2, writes his view in the Knights Templar, 1988, page 10. Masonry is omnipotent and omnipresent. Oh, really? A large membership cannot make her stronger, or lack thereof make her weaker. She is what she is, and she patiently awaits all seekers of light, even though they are apparently few in number at the present time. When good men desire her, she will rejoicingly raise them up one by one to the celestial heavens. Why, Freemasonry will resurrect you. You don't need Jesus Christ. This is me commenting, right? She will rejoicingly raise them up one by one to the celestial heavens. Yeah, we don't need Jesus. We just need the light of Freemasonry, who's the devil, right? So it continues. Yet in spite of this and other disclaimers, many of the most respected Freemasons have declared it is a religion. Lynn Dumenil describes Freemasonry in Freemasonry and American Culture, 1880 to 1930, on page 54, she reports, "Masonry's dedication to universality, toleration, and morality was in keeping with the tendencies of liberal Protestantism, which placed less emphasis on creed and denominations, and which tended to stress ethics and morality as crucial elements in religion. Liberal Protestants, eager to stem the tide of skepticism and atheism, could well tolerate Masonry and welcome its efforts at encouraging morality and religiosity." Very interesting, hmm? "Masonry makes equal all religious teachings." That's equilibrium. "Masonry makes equal all religious teachings." That's the New World Religion. That's what they're trying to bring about. And the Jew is behind that, bringing this about. It will, remember what Pike said? I keep mentioning this to you, that they will release the nihilists and the atheists, and there will be a great social cataclysm between Christianity and the Muslims. And that at the end of this, Christianity will be left without compass. Now, the compass is what I call the Father's law within us. It directs us the right ways and convicts us like our conscience. So at the end of this, I don't think anyone's going to have a conscience. And one of the things that Fritz was talking about in the next book that we'll take a look at is that when you receive the mark of the devil, part of this mark would be a new personality. In other words, mind-programmed slave, multiple disorder. You know, what it means is this new personality wouldn't be a Christian. It would be somebody without compass. Doesn't this sound a little interesting? Yeah, it's getting a little serious. So back to the book. Masonry makes equal all religious teachings, thereby devaluing the exclusive truths that Christianity presents mankind. Despite Masonic Universalists' attempts to deny that Masonry was an alternative to the churches, one group of Masons clearly contradicted them. These men were indicating that Masonry could serve as a vehicle for religious expression outside the churches. Further, those who chose the path of Freemasonry's Universalism were, according to Dumenil's PhD research, men that did not seek theological answers whole-souled. She writes, "It seems, however, that Masonry's religion was particularly appropriate for those men with rather vaguely defined beliefs. For men unsettled by controversies surrounding the Bible and the validity of Christianity, Masonry provided a religious experience that was comfortable." Oh, can I tickle your ears? I wouldn't want to tell you any truth that might rattle your cage at all. Masonry provided a religious experience that was comfortable, not disturbing. Masonry could thus have special appeal to men who persisted in believing, but who were uncertain about what they believed. That's without compass, wouldn't you say? Because Freemasonry promotes a lazy mental attitude towards seeking God and knowledge of Him, that's why the Father, I'm interjecting right here, that's why the Father would say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Let me read the statement again. Because Freemasonry promotes a lazy mental attitude towards seeking God and knowledge of Him, Christian theology, but promotes an indefinite, confusing answers, it is disobedience to the first commandment. See? So, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Freemasonry, from a Christian analysis, has promoted a freedom of religion, quote-unquote. Remember that in the word freedom is Edom. Spell out the word freedom. F-R-E-E-D-O-M. Edom is in the word freedom. Freedom of religion. That amounts to a freedom from the true religion. You see, that's what I was telling you, that when you're declaring your freedom of religion in the Constitution, that means you can be a Satanist in this Constitution. You can be of any religion, right? And the people, these patriots of this Constitution, will fight for your right to be a Satanist. Isn't that wonderful? See what it's saying right here? Freemasonry, from a Christian analysis, has promoted a freedom of religion that amounts to a freedom from the true religion. Men of faith do not doubt that there is a definite source of truth concerning God. Men of faith recognize Scripture as the Word of God. Men of faith realize theology is important, and that a vague intuition about who God is not satisfactory. Men of faith seek wisdom with all their heart. Men of faith reject the notion that all contradictory religious views are all right. Such a confusion of beliefs is unscriptural and unchristian, and the devil is the author of confusion, and so are his children, the Jews. So such a confusion of beliefs is unscriptural and unchristian. Many Masons have loved wisdom and truth. Their quest for this has led them out of the lodge and to Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 states, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. What does an ex-Mason tell us about Freemasonry? It tends to withdraw the sympathy and active zeal of professing Christians from their respective churches. Repeatedly, men who have been Masons and then come to their Creator through Christ have warned that Freemasonry is dangerous, pagan, and unchristian. Let me just stop right there. So Freemasonry is pagan. It's also the Kabbalah, like Judaism is pagan, and it's the Kabbalah, like Catholicism is pagan, and it's Kabbalah, and like paganism is pagan. Mystery Babylon? Hello? And so is the Jehovah Witnesses. It's pagan. Because Baal is the god of the watchtower. And so is Hinduism, etc., and Islam, etc., 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 etc. So, he continues here. 1 John 4:1 also warns the Christian to try the spirits, quote-unquote. And what does the Holy Spirit tell Christians in the good book which he co-authored? He said that the Holy Spirit, will teach us all things. John 14:25-26, and further, that he will guide us into all truth. John 16:13-14, you do not need to pay money and progress through oaths or obligations and rituals to get truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you. There may be Christians within Masonic lodges, but lodges didn't make them Christian. God made them Christians. Yahweh himself, or Jesus, Yeshua. Further, by uniting themselves with brothers, quote-unquote, who are not Christian brothers, they risk their fellowship with Yahweh, for he has warned us not to be bonded together with unbelievers. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, let me stop right there. That's 2 Corinthians 6:14, right? It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, let me ask you a question. If you are with these Jews and you're going to help all these Jews, they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They hate Jesus Christ. They are not our brothers. Then why are you in the Jewish version of Christianity? How is it that you've mixed darkness with light? How is it that you are equally yoked now, you're unequally yoked, with unbelievers? And you're reading this right in the scriptures and you don't know it. You've yoked yourselves with Jews. You support the Jews. You would stand up and die for Jews. You send your sons over there to die to bring a new world order for the Jews. And it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, Christ killers, pagans, Masons. You get the whole thing. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. When one becomes aware of all the oaths, the scornful anti-Christian Masons, the unconverted Masons, the rituals, etc., they are part of Masonry, he becomes aware just how well suited this verse is. In other words, if a Mason is a Christian, it is in spite of his Masonic membership and not due to it. The horrible blood-curdling oaths and other things done in secret are not the Christian way of doing things. Jesus said, in secret have I said nothing. John 18:20. But the Spirit warns us in Ephesians 5:11-12, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Have no fellowship, right, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. The lodges are not out to save sinners. Christians are commanded never to swear oaths. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Yahweh's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this, than these, cometh of evil." James the apostle and brother of Jesus restates this, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, lest ye fall into condemnation." Each and every mason has broken this commandment of Yahweh from the very first and breaks it with every degree he obtains. You see, let me interject. This is what the Jew does. This is what the devil does. You know, this Albert Pike, who was a queer, homosexual too, and he could call on Lucifer, and Lucifer would come to him, beckon him. He wrote this whole thing, this 32 degrees here. Actually, it has 33, right? But it's the 32 degrees of the Scottish Rite. And in it, they've continually have you breaking the law, like the Jew has us eating pig, like the Jew has us race mixing and breaking all the commandments of the Father in all kinds of ways. And we just keep doing it. So imagine that as you go up the degrees, you're breaking commandment after commandment after commandment, and you're just condemning yourself. You see? The scriptures condemn fortifying one's word with oaths. Footstep followers of Jesus will be opened before men as Christ was, as 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2 encourages them to be. Contrary to Russell's views, God's communication of believers is not patterned after oath-bound secret societies, which promise salvation to all regardless of whether they become believers in Christ or not. The Christian congregation, which follows the ethic of the newer part of the Testament, cannot tolerate lodge memberships on the part of their members. Are you digging what's being said? That's where we're going to let off right here. We're on page 207, so we're moving right along, folks. We're moving right along, and it shan't be long, and we'll move on. But I'll tell you, we're learning many things here, and I'm very excited about learning things and not letting, hopefully there are Jehovah Witnesses that will hear this. I know they're hard to really reach because they're heavily programmed. It's mind control. They're under mind control. They just don't know it. And so may the Father break those spiritual ties, and may he free them from these things in the mighty name of Yahweh. And perhaps you will pray for these people too, because they're devil locked. There's no doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen. Devil lock is real. And it's not a good thing. It's causing a lot of problems for a lot of people. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.